Therapy is a safe space. Space for us both to grow. Mm.
There's nothing that empowers me more with our community than just being who I am.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Natural Ease. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good. Hey everybody. Hey family.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. So we are starting to wind down the season, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And in our last episode, if you stay tuned, you'll hear us and see us talking about a recap. But today's episode, we're going to talk about living single. And we're going to let you all in a little bit into our personal lives. So most of the season, we've talked more so from the professional lens. Mm-hmm. We've let you in a little bit, you know, we flirted with and given some teasers about us personally. Yeah. But most of it has been from the lens of the professional. And today I wanted to give them a little treat. Mm-hmm. And just talk about like us being like people outside of therapists.
Yeah.
So we're all single, unwed, and we're all in our 30s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all black women. Yep. So there are some pressures that kind of come with that. Mm-hmm. I want to start there. Do you feel any pressure? And if so, what would be some of the pressures that you feel being a black woman in your 30s, living in 2023, and being single?
I think it's the unrelenting standards that I put on myself. Well, that everyone puts on me and then I carry.
Okay.
So like, oh, well, you're 30. You're supposed to have a house by now. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. Why aren't you married? Why don't you have a kid? Why don't you, are you not thinking about kids? Maybe you should freeze your eggs. Like, people have gone that far.
That's
tell
real.
Me that. So it's just all the pressures and standards of what my bank account should be, all of these things. Yeah. And it's just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. That's facts.
Yeah, I would say, you know, all of the shoulds, mm-hmm. right? Mostly everything that Kima mentioned and, you know, even putting yourself out there, right? I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but like, you know, being on dating apps or meeting people and they're like, you single? Yeah, no, how? There's no way. Why? You know, and even those statements could be triggering, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, shit, I don't want to be single. Like, you think I'm I volunteer for this? You know, this is just what it is, you know? And I think, you know, despite that, you know, the pressure to have kids and the pressure to have money in your account, the pressure of like, you know, millennials is killing it, man. Mm-hmm. Millennials yeah. are killing it. So even my peers, they have houses and businesses and this and that. I went into Bank of America the other day and the guy was doing a transfer and she was like, how much, sir? She was like, he was like, can you put $136,000 over to this account? Huh?
You mean US?
Was he single?
U.S. right. Pesos? TT? Like, something. Like, I was like, yeah, TT, that's the Trinidad money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Islanders.
So I'm like, dang, so even in that, like, I felt the pressure. Like, sis, what you doing? Because he just walked in and say, put this over here. And he didn't say 500. 200, 3,000, he said 126. So just all of those pressures just to start up that conversation.
Yeah, for me, I feel like the pressures I feel is because I'm a professional and like in professional spaces. Okay. Like if I don't have a ring on my finger, I feel like I'm not as valued because of the space that I hold, like who I am in my profession. So more so that than being in a relationship, I think I feel pressures for marriage or for like serious relationships because of like my environment, like who my friends are or my faith, like what I believe. And then like, I guess my platform is what I feel. And I think that, you know, there's like all these narratives about like black women and not being desired or high quality black women or high performing or black women that are professionals. And if they're desired and all these things that can impact our psyche if we're not careful, right? If we're not assured in who we are or depending on who we have in our circle, it may impact us, right? On an emotional or psychological level.
Right. And some of the things are degrading too, to Black women. So it's like you have all these things out here that are degrading us and telling us that like we should settle for less, or we're a five at best, or all those comments. And then now the people that we're looking for in dating, I know for me, I believe in Black love. So I'm looking for a Black man. So if a Black man is hearing that, then you're going to come with me with that same energy. And a lot of the times that's what I see in the dating pool, where first conversation, they think they can talk to me any type of way. And it's like, now that's been conditioned to you. Now that's been encouraged. So now you think this is acceptable and you think that this Black woman will accept it. And if I say something, then I'm the angry Black woman. Then I'm exactly fitting the stereotype and I'm not desirable and I'm acting too bougie or whatever, just for me asking for basic respect. So it's just a whole complex of things.
Yeah. Now we all have families, right? We didn't just like drop out of the sky onto this earth. So we all have families, and I don't know, like, you know, I know Keem and I are Caribbean descent. Trina, I know you have, your stepdad is Caribbean. Is there pressures from your families to be in a relationship? And is that cultural, or is it like just specific to your family? What do you think?
I think it's cultural. Caribbean people love, y'all nosy as fuck.
It's the whisper for me.
Yo. And our people business.
Yo, stay in people business. Like, and it's a lot of shame culture in the Caribbean. Like, now that I'm like understanding more about myself and like why I think the way I think, why I'm so harsh on myself, I'm recognizing that they love to shame the women and praise the men. Literally. So when you walk into a room, it's like, oh, so what have you accomplished? Yeah, you got a business, but you ain't married. You don't got no kids. When you gonna have kids? You know, I remember I went home one time and one of, I think somebody on my dad's side, I don't know, while I walked in, they were like, oh, you have stretch marks? That means you're gonna have a lot of kids.
What? Huh.
I was like,
yeah, I'm loaded then.
Boy, blah, blah, blah.
I was like, first of all, what does that even mean? But second
kids
of all,
each?
Like, right. Why was that an okay comment to even say out your mouth? You know? So a lot of things like that is just like, that's what we go through in the Caribbean. They just ruthless.
Yeah. My maternal grandmother is still alive. She's in her late 80s. And for me, as long as I can remember, she'll always be like, you know, make sure you don't get too big so you can get a husband. Or like, if she sees me, she'll be like, so did you find a man? And at this point, you know, I could be a little slick. The Lord's still working on me. I could be a little slick.
I'm still healing.
You know, sometimes I'll have a little snarky comment. We're still respectful because I still come from a very Caribbean household. So I still have a level of respect, but I'll be like, you know, grandma, if you can show me a successful relationship in this family, I might think of marriage, you know, and they don't ask questions, like curious questions, like, are you dating?
Right.
What is your interest when it comes to a man? It's like, it's judgment, you know, which is what I have a problem with. And the reality is the way that I date is very different than my family members because of the things that I've seen. So, you know, I think a lot of people, when they see someone who is single, there's a lot of assumptions, you know, and I feel like any one of us, like, the ball's in our court when it comes to relationships. So we don't have to just take anything that comes to us. And if that means that you're going to be single longer, in my opinion, I think it's worth it because pain is real.
Right.
And we see it as therapists. Like, a lot of people can come back from physical trauma. They got in an accident or they had an injury in sports or something. But that emotional pain takes people out.
It does.
And I am no, there's a scripture that says, like, God is no respecter of person. And I don't think I'm any better than the next person. So I would try to avoid as much emotional pain as possible. You know, so for me personally, like, being single is not, it's not like a death sentence. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I really like being single. The freedom, of course, there's things about partnerships that is beautiful too, but I find that a lot of some of my married friends, they want to be single. So it's like, dang, there has to be something special about this space. So culturally, I do think there's a pressure. There is pressure. My family's of Jamaican descent. But I don't know. For some reason, to me, I don't internalize it as much. To be honest, for me, it hasn't been that challenging for me to internalize, at least at this point in my life.
Right. Yeah, I would say the same. I think it comes up like fleeting thoughts, but my family does a good job giving me space as far as relationships. They're not like, oh, Muff. Well, that's my nickname, y'all, in case y'all ain't know. but they'd be like, oh, Muff, who, you still talk to this guy, you still talk to that guy, but there's no pressure to be in a relationship. Kids, my little sister told me the other day, Muff, it's your turn. And I'm like, what's going on? You need to have me a nephew or a niece. And I'm just like, you know, if it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. So it's cute. You know, it's coming from a 14-year-old. I don't sit at home in Harper. But there's been times where, like, you know, my mom be like, well, such and such had a baby that they can't take care of. I thought, you know, maybe Muff would take it. You know, so it's like, screaming. You know, there's these little, you know, little slide things. Like, who said I want to be a nurturer right now? Okay. But again, that could be a societal pressure. I'm sure it's innocent or she means no harm. You know, it's just like out of the kindness of her heart. But at the same time, if you peel back the banana, that's kind of like saying, hey, you in mother stage, you can handle this, it's time.
Come on, mother.
Come on. Come on, mother and mother.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Do you guys desire to be in a relationship?
I desire, yeah. I think I'm ready. I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, it's giving a point. No. Ms. Folks, I'm absolutely ready. I think. No, I'm not.
No. I think I'm ready for a companionship. I think I'm ready to build a relationship with someone. I don't know what that looks like. I think before I was always going into what I think a relationship looks like.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of stumbled up. But now I'm like, I want companionship first. I want consistency. I want conversation. I want problem solving skills.
Yes.
Okay.
She want a whole man.
I want a healed all of that. Man. Uh-huh. Okay, sir. Black man, 6 foot up, please.
She'll take 5'10".
Minimum. To do.
But I want that first to build that good friendship where I can trust you and feel safe with you. And you can trust me and feel safe with me. And from that, if that leads us to like a great relationship, then great. But I need to see that shit first because I'm Captain Save-A-Ho and I'm tired of saving y'all hoes. I'm tired.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I'm glad you took your cape off.
Tired of being tired.
What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I ain't gonna even front. We ain't gonna hesitate. Ain't gonna stutter.
I hate you.
I ain't gonna think about it twice. Definitely.
My man Jasmine Sullivan just a stutterer. She said not today.
Not today. This tongue gonna be clear. This pronunciation gonna be heard. Yes, absolutely. I desire partnership. I desire to be in a relationship, but I'm not desperate and I'm not rushing. And I'm open to taking my time and shop around. I think that's one of the superpowers of being single. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, like, you know, you have married friends that don't want to be married, friends in relationships that don't want to be in relationships. And I think that a lot of people miss out on that piece, especially growing up in church, right? Like, mm-hmm. you kind of take what the Lord sends you. Mm-hmm. And then who knows that the Lord that... anyway.
Okay.
That's the next episode.
Okay.
But ultimately what I'm saying is there is a certain expectation that comes with spirituality and you're not really encouraged to shop around.
Nope.
Yep.
You encouraged to get into some so before you bust it wide open, you could be honorable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, it's about this rule, living by the law, not necessarily shopping to find out what's best for you. So mm-hmm. absolutely, I desire a relationship, but I'm learning how to date. You know, I'm learning how to date. That's so important to me right now. I don't think it's something that I've ever been taught or had the privilege or the exposure. Mm-hmm. But I'm learning how to date, and I think shopping around teaches me that.
Yeah, no, that's dope. I team Bluetooth high five. I agree. I think you should absolutely date around. And for me personally, I do. And something that I struggle with is like saying I want something, but baby, when that thing come, it's like you say this. You want a relationship. You say you want partnership. You say you want this person who is whole and well. And then when it comes, you realize like, oh, no. Like, I wasn't prepared. Like,
No,
sweetheart, you wasn't prepared. You know, like, I know that I can be, through dating, because I am an avid dater, that I can be selfish.
Yes.
You know, I can be so selfish. Like, and Trina and I were talking about something when it comes to dating, and she was giving an example of like this guy who said, like, you worried about your heart, but what about mine? Mm-hmm. You know, like, just the same way that you may be protective or want to go slow and anxious about you getting hurt just because I'm a man doesn't mean that I'm not feeling that same way too. And I don't think we think as women about the other piece. It's always like, oh no, he might be a narcissist and I've been hurt before. And the guys can feel the same way too. Like, I don't know, she can be narcissistic as well and I may be hurt. So, you know, I tend to just think about myself and my desires and my wants and not consider how the man may feel. And I realized that through dating. Yes. So I strongly suggest if someone is single, you are not married legally, that you do date, that you do date, because there's so many skills, or have friendships too. There's so many skills that you can learn through close relationships where you don't have to have the heartbreak of getting into like a committed relationship so soon. And then those things end.
Right. Yeah.
But I do desire it. I'm a work in progress. Team therapy, or self-help and all those things, just to make sure that in those areas where you're blinded that you can improve. And to me, that's what makes like a healthy relationship.
Facts.
And I think they shamed us a lot to date, right? Because like you said, Trina, it was like, meet that one person and hurry up and settle down and call it a day. So it's like, I still, like, my high school partner, my grandma still says, are you going back to him? Lady, no, you done met three other people. What the hell is you talking about?
Like, woo, spin the block.
Like, you know, so like, they, once they deem this one is the one in your mind, they're like, oh, this is what it needs to be. As opposed to like, no, encourage me to date, encourage me to meet other people, to branch out. I remember I used to shame myself for dating.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not supposed to be dating two people at the same time. Yeah. Oh my God, that's too much. Like, they're going to see me a hoe. But it's like, I'm not a hoe, and even if I want to be thotting around the world, and it's my prerogative.
Yeah, you know, I think that most of the time people can only give based off of their experience or their level of exposure or what they have access to. And we're in a very unique time where we have access to unlimited access. I have a client who was just telling me this week that she's been online dating for a while. Long story short, she ended up meeting someone by happenstance on an app who lives out of the country. And she expressed to me that, you know, she was having trust issues and her ex-partner moved like 2 hours away. And she was like, nope, we have to end this because I can't do long distance. Cut to, she meets someone who doesn't even live in this country and they've been like 9-10 months strong. She's like, I'm so secure in this relationship. And I never thought that I would date someone who lived an hour away, much less across an ocean and in another continent, you know, because she wasn't secure in that relationship.
That's good, Kima.
And, you know, if she wasn't open or on a dating app, she wouldn't have met this person. So I encourage people to use online dating as well, whether it's apps or social media or whatever, because we have access to more than just our community. And our parents and grandparents didn't have that access. They literally had to date in their community. Some of our families even have incest in our family because all they had was their village.
Right.
And so now, because of technology, like, it's endless opportunities. And I don't want people to take that and be like, okay, well then I can just be, you know, greedy. But no, like, you have options. So you say all the time, Trina says all the time, like, dating is getting data, right? So I like when this person treats me this way. This makes me feel good, but I didn't like this. And I don't have to be yoked up in a marriage to realize 15 years later, I really did not like this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really hope people, and maybe through this conversation and us talking more about mm-hmm. being single, people like demystify it. Like the idea of being single.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, you know, going back to the basics, like we had an episode, I think it was 3, it can all be so simple, 3 or 4, but we talk about that. And Shara, she mentioned the whole collecting data thing. I went way back to kindergarten. I made a list. We had a check-in.
She did.
And I put all 5 of their names down. And I had a key. Y'all remember the key for the map? You know, green means, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I made a key with my real old school. I made a key with my top 5 needs mm-hmm. and my wants. Mm-hmm. And whoever had it, I put a P for personality, mm-hmm. a S for security, a C for confidence. You know, we just went through it. And it literally helped me see on paper like who I was dealing with and mm-hmm. who should I invest the most of my time in, right? Because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you make me feel good, but I have needs mm-hmm. and I have wants, and I'm not dating for fun anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm dating for the future. So take it back to pen and paper, color pencils and coloring books, whatever you got to do. But that was really helpful, and it gave Shara and I a sense of like purpose in our conversation, because mm-hmm. she could ask the right questions and help me to even figure out more information about the people that I was talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, if you're single, you really want a relationship, and I'm speaking to women, we got to get over that like just gossipy stuff, like, girl, he did this. Like, if you really want healthy relationships, it's work. There are trash people out there, like mm-hmm. behaviorally they have trash behaviors, because I think all humans are good. It's our behaviors are mm-hmm. poor, but we're not bad. Our behaviors are, but we can't blame the other person all the time. And as you start to elevate and heal, those conversations get exhausting, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because like it's at some point it's like, well, what do you want? Do you mm-hmm. really want to be in a relationship? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be healthy, or do you want to stay in that toxic, you know, or dysfunctional space? And that's okay too if that's what you on. Mm-hmm. But like, just be honest, mm-hmm. you know, about what you want.
Mm-hmm. And I'm reading a Gottman book, like. If no one knows Gottman, he's like relationship specialist, whatever, mm-hmm. the Gottman method. And he was talking about like when a partner cheats and how much of their needs are not being met before they even cognitively make the decision to cheat, right?
Yep.
And all these different things. And as he was going through the book, and just like, I think I'm on chapter like 7 now, and I literally just picked it up like 2 days ago. As he was going through the book, I was like, that was me. That was me. This was me here. This is where I failed my partner here. This is where, you know, so it's like, it's good to look at both ends as opposed to like, he ain't this, he ain't shit, blah, blah, blah. Like, and that's why I like, when people like bash my exes, I get upset, because I don't care how shitty they were. At the end of the day, I chose that.
Yeah.
I chose that. So you can't shame one person and not shame me. And if you're shaming him, then what you looking at me like, you know? So I just rather like, no, let's not. We were both two unhealthy people, and we were what we needed at the time. And then it just didn't work out. So like, this is where it is, and on to the next one. So that's just kind of how I feel about it, because the pressures of like choosing one person and staying with them and settling, right, and accepting less, is like, it stops the options for you to reflect.
Yeah.
Because if I'm scared of being single and everybody is giving me pressure, I'm not going to sit down and make a list with the key and my needs and my wants. My needs and wants didn't matter. And that's what I noticed too. All my previous relationships, I didn't care about my needs or wants. I cared about, oh, I need a partner, because image. People tell me that I need a partner. Mm-hmm. So when I started to think about my needs and wants, it was like, my needs and wants ain't being met. And I'm giving everything and pouring from an empty cup and then wonder why I'm having anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
So all of those things matter.
Absolutely. You know, thank you guys for sharing. I think this is great. And I wish you all the love and prosperity in your journeys. Last thing I would say about being single and the pressures, being a therapist, mm-hmm. working with individuals as well as couples, I am in such a privileged seat because the people that y'all admire come into our office and they don't be happy. And I'd be like, you know what, Lord, I thank you for the insight, right? Because anything can look great on the surface level. And so I think a lot of people are chasing their tails. They're looking for something. And, you know, we all have had moments where we we're doing things. How would I say it? Like, I guess in the wrong way, like we're chasing something because of what society says or what our parents feel is best for us. And we're not intuitive with what we even want. And so that's what I would just leave with the viewers and with you all is just be intentional and intuitive on what you desire. And if it's singleness, that's okay.
Right.
If it's a relationship, that's okay too. But starting off with just checking in with yourself. Right. And I think at that point, you'll be your healthiest. Thanks for watching. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.